Welcome to Transformation with Martinet. Martinet Emmons is a transformational life coach who broke free from childhood abuse, sexual trauma, and overcame cancer to become a powerful force of healing and hope for others. Martinet describes traumatic events as fierce emotional tsunamis. They can leave impending doom and destructive tidal waves of emotions that hit you when you least expect it. Martinet helps her clients dive into the depths of their trauma and pain as she stands fiercely advocating for them to shine a light on those experiences and find the lesson in the pain. She serves as a beacon of hope that guides you to see the strength, lessons, and purpose that can be born from the pain. You can feel alive with purpose again when you awaken your dormant strength, step into your power with a sense of peace, and discover a new wave of hope with the right tools and support. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation to inspire you to find hope and to see that there is a beautiful blue ocean of serenity, happiness, and fulfillment in your future. Transformation with Martinet starts now.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Transformation with Martinet. This is where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. And as always, I'm so excited to be here. I love Fridays, and not just because it's the weekend. I absolutely love the show. I love showing people that it is possible to overcome everything. It really is. I am proof of it. Every guest that I invite on here is proof of it. I always get emotional, but it's just amazing. I know that we are, as humans, are resilient, and we can truly get back up from anything. So without further ado, I want to introduce my guest today is Linda Schweitzer, and she and I have been, you know, in the same community for a lot of years now, and she's got a topic that makes me blush. So, hey, you know, I decided to wear something that kind of matches when I get red because, being a little older now, it would seem that I wouldn't be as embarrassed, but I am. So anyway, I'm real. I'm authentic. Everybody knows me that way. So Linda, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Martinet. Really excited to talk to you today. You said we're just going to chat. So
yeah, that's right. But it's still just like, ooh, okay. So yes. So what brought you What brought you into the world of transformation and wanted to help people overall, not just with love, but just overall?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think that sometimes we happen upon things, what appears to be accidentally, and it's probably all divinely inspired. Yeah. And so my personal journey brought me to hiring a personal coach to support me in my business, a professional coach, I guess, to support me in my business that I was running. And that was about 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then, through that, I got invited to his first training for coaches camp, and he wanted me to certify as a coach, and then proceeded to recruit me a few months later to work with him in his business to hit multiply and expand and just to upscale his business and to multiply himself. So that's what got me kind of started. And initially, I only coached people running small businesses. Mm-hmm. And of course, during all that time, I was on my own personal journey, living in my personal prison of sexless marriage. And I was very intrigued since about the age of 12 about personal development, and started reading things and paying attention to different things in that area. So that's probably how I got my start.
Okay. So like when you say age 12, for me, I was, I think really it was, I had a rough start, like a lot of people have. And I think I knew I wanted to help people as early as age 4, probably because, I was molested by 3 different men before I was 9. And at age 4, though, I just remember just wanting to just brighten somebody's day, just wanting to do something for somebody. And I didn't know what it looked like. So for you at age 12, what was going on? What made you say, there's something here for me?
Wow. Well, first of all, just I just want to acknowledge what you just shared, because that was kind of a big bomb you dropped there with being molested by three people before the age of nine. I mean, that's a lot for a little girl to handle. Yeah. And that certainly impacts how your life unfolds, right? Mm-hmm. How does that not affect you? And so I'm sure that that's contributed a lot into who you've become and what you're doing now. And I almost mm-hmm. feel like I want to interview you about that.
Another time.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it was just being aware. Like I mm-hmm. could feel and see things, and I knew I kind of had a sense of what was going on. I was like, oh, that person mm-hmm. was mean to me. And I sort of had a sense like, I wonder why they're being mean to me, because mm-hmm. that's not about me. Like, I wonder if they're hurting about something. Like, and so at a really young age, I had like this awareness of things that I don't think, I mean, kids today are a lot more aware than we were back then. And they're certainly raised to be more emotionally intelligent. But I just had an awareness of self-development, also very encouraging parents, extremely big cheerleaders who breathed belief into all of us three kids, mm-hmm. told us that we could be and do and have anything that we wanted. And so that kind of positive mental attitude and constant expectation of resiliency. So, mm-hmm. I remember trying to learn to water ski I'm in the middle of the lake and I think I have a brother in the boat who swims. My parents don't swim. They're in the boat. I'm trying to get up on one ski. Two skis was easy, but get mm-hmm. up on one ski, slalom, from not dropping a ski, but get up on one ski.
Yeah.
He really wanted me to be able to do that. And he was just not going to stop trying to pull me up until I conquered it. And mm-hmm. I mean, I was in tears. I was frustrated. I was exhausted. I was begging to just get in the boat. And he was like, no, you just keep doing it until you win at this, you beat this, you get it. Awesome. And so mm-hmm. that's the kind of environment that I was raised in. And so, mm-hmm. So I've always kind of had like a go get 'em attitude, I guess, or do it, Mary Kay, Mary Kay kind of attitude. And so, that's impacted me a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's really awesome though. Having the awareness and even just having a family so supportive like that, that's beautiful. And not many, at least in the world that I've been in and the people that I've interviewed and everything, that's rare, but it's beautiful to see, that's amazing. But like having that awareness of, oh, that can't be about me. It's like, being in the same community, how often do we teach our own clients that, somebody's mean to you has nothing to do with you, but you already knew that? That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think I just had an awareness of it. Not even at a really big conscious level, just came from, I don't know where, just came from my thing, I guess, came from.
It's one of your gifts.
Maybe what things my parents said or what they taught me or how they processed upsets with me, or, there's a lot of love and support in my family growing up. And so getting married, also my parents were very affectionate with each other. And so when I got married, I thought that I hit the jackpot. I thought I had, an all you could eat sex buffet, first of all. Secondly, I thought that, I had this person who would be my partner in everything. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would get my parents' marriage, really. Like that's how naive I was, And so I didn't realize that it wasn't just finding someone to marry that gave you that. You had to find the right person to marry who had the, love languages that match and the erotic languages that match and just a lot of other things, values that match and that sort of thing. And so imagine my surprise to find myself in a sexless marriage and then having this, like, you can do it, go get him, never give up, like you're staying out in the lake until you get up on that one ski. And so I held on, clenching, fingers clenched, white knuckling, going to counselors. We went to five counselors. We did workshops. We both read books. We, we really tried to make that marriage work for 17 years. And it was, it had its pluses there. I'm certainly not going to say there were no high points. We had a lot of great vacations together. We were great supporters in each other's business. We were mostly really excellent domestic partners, but we were not lovers. And that was a really missing piece for me because That's a really important part of who I am. And it's a really important part of where my power comes from, my sexual energy and my expression. It's a big part of my self-expression. And and being the love languages, you know, in case that's just something that I didn't know anything about when I got married, but I certainly thought about it. Someone gave us a book as a gift for Christmas one time, and we both read it. And then we looked at each other and said, whoa, that's why we're having so many problems. Okay. You know, but now what do we do about that?
Right. That's kind of interesting. My husband now, you know, I was married previously, and my previous marriage is the father of my kids. He's the father of my children. The man I'm married to now, my husband, is, he asked that I read it when we first met. So I thought that was cool. That's cool. I mean, we're not exactly the same, but you know, we can work with that. I think when you know, you can work with it if you're both willing to work.
Yes. Yes. I don't think that you need to have the same love languages. I've certainly worked with couples and met people who didn't have the same love languages, but who were very aware of each other's and were able to make it work because of that. Yeah. They were willing to learn to speak their partner's love languages.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. Example, I love cards. I love stuff like cards and everything. And my husband loves touch. So cards are just something that means something to me. And I just try to think of him more. And I'm like, okay, that's what you want. But try to think more of like, okay, well, what would make him happy? You know? So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. So did you, just curious if it's okay to ask, obviously, if it's not, did you date a few men before you married him, or was it, you know, you just had expectations of marriage different than dating?
Oh gosh. Yes, absolutely. I dated a lot and I had a really active social calendar, and I was a really active person with lots of activities and interest in sports, and I would often meet men that way. And I did. And what happened was when I this is going back an awful long time ago now, girl. This is like 30 years you're asking me to dig back into. So
fine, you can do it.
So I think before we met, when we met, what I felt with him was a great degree of comfort. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of ease, and we just got along. And initially he was very into physical touch and paid a lot of attention to me that way. And so I thought that's what I was getting. I thought it would always be that way. And then that changed. And I mean, I work with people who, you know, had the most fantastic relationship and then got married, and then the person changed and they ended up having narcissistic tendencies or, you know, were abusive or whatever. And so things happen where I don't think the person changed. I think they didn't just see the whole picture. And if I look back now, you know, I saw the whole picture before we got married, and I knew what I was getting into. So I could definitely, if I had, you know, hindsight is 20/20, they say, if I had it to do over, you know, I should have, I don't like shitting on myself, but
exactly,
shouldn't have gotten married to him. But I want to use, I want to quote Maya Angelou, who said, and she has a book a friend gave me called I Won't Trade Nothing for My Journey Now. And so I literally would not be here sitting with you today talking about what I do, helping other couples with their lives and communication and intimacy, if I had not had that experience of that marriage. So I'm
absolutely
grateful, you know,
absolutely. Yep. As one of our mentors says, Sean Smith, you know, you can't be grateful for the lessons and hate the teacher.
Right.
Yeah, I'm grateful actually for everything I've gone through. Some of it isn't pretty, and I sure wouldn't want it to happen to somebody else, but it's brought me to where I am today. And, you know, it's a good thing. Yeah. So we are going to take a break, but we're going to come back and talk more about love languages, perhaps, and go into all kinds of other things. But before we go, where can people find you?
Oh, they can find me on Facebook or Instagram, Coach Linda or Linda Switzer, SWITZER. Make sure you spell Linda with a Y. And I have a website that's in the process of being updated, coachlinda.com.
Awesome. We'll be back, everyone.
Are you on a healing journey, working through trauma or limited beliefs caused by social conditioning? Are you searching for who you are? There are answers waiting for you. In Gressen Pfeiffer's book, Sharing My Light and Healing Journey, she shares her story of light and healing energy, providing wisdom and useful tools for you, the reader, on your own path. You can get your copy of the book, Sharing My Light and Healing Journey by Gressen Pfeiffer, available on Amazon.com.
You've been looking, searching for your purpose. You desire change, but don't know what to do. There is an amazing teacher sitting right there, waiting for you to realize you can do this. You sense it is time. Take that first step. Your dog is ready to show you more. You are ready to listen and start to remember. Remember who you are. Visit www.dogsandmen.com to continue your journey.
Do you want to overcome your chronic health condition? Have you tried for years? Christy Rich is a holistic healer with over 17 years experience. She will discover the root cause of your condition and treat you naturally for amazing results. She works with clients one-to-one, but for a limited time, you can grab your free PDF with her top natural health products. Visit thedancingcurtain.com/get healthy. That's thedancingcurtain.com/get healthy. Feel better today.
Are you living the life others want you to live? Are you counting on others to make you happy? If so, you have it backwards. Can you imagine waking up every day excited about what's to come? After 11 years of growth, Dominika has encoded happiness in her DNA. As a brain coach and a neuroencoding specialist, she uses a holistic approach to help you do the same. For more information and to schedule a session, follow Your Brain Coach D on Facebook and Instagram.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Linda Switzer, and we are talking about love languages and, well, erotic blueprints and everything about love. So, Linda, we had left off with love languages, and there's a way definitely to, in learning the love languages, to draw couples closer together. What else would, in your line of work, would draw people together?
I think that communication style is super important mm-hmm. to understand. You know, in our training, Martinet, and we come from a common mentor in our origins, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody is a direct communicator or they're an indirect communicator, that can make a really big difference. Like one person, and often opposites attract. So we typically mm-hmm. would have one person in the partnership who would say, "Oh my gosh, I'm so thirsty," and you know, and the other person goes, "Oh, well, I'm Martinet. Nice to meet you," right? Instead of what, "Oh, would you like me to get you a glass of water, hun? Or would you mm-hmm. do fancy a cup of tea?" Right? Yeah. And so the direct versus indirect communicator, you know, we need to be aware of those nuances with our partner so that we really mm-hmm. tune into what they're saying that they might not be really saying. And I know that I'm certified as a Gottman couples therapist, and mm-hmm. in Gottman's training, one of the things that they really focus on, they hinge an awful lot of their philosophies and beliefs, first of all, on, it's a science-based approach. So just to say what the Gottman is, in case some of your listeners haven't heard of them, mm-hmm. The Gottmans are a husband and wife couple, John and Julie Gottman, out mm-hmm. of Seattle, Washington, and they're both PhD scientists who have spent 40 plus years studying over 3,000 couples in amassing the largest database of and body of work studying what makes marriages work and relationships work and what causes them to fail. Mm-hmm. And so any of their books I highly recommend. They're fantastic. And what they did with couples, they put them in an apartment in Seattle, Washington for 24 hours. And they monitored them with all these hidden cameras, and they were mic'd up, and they were keeping track of their heart rate and their blood pressure, mm-hmm. and even tested saliva and urine and all kinds of things. And they're watching their eyes for blinking and micro expressions on the face and everything that you could possibly imagine and more. Mm-hmm. And their look, and then they would follow those couples longitudinally, sometimes up to 20 years, to see where those relationships go. And so here's the thing that ties back to communication. So, let's say that we're in an apartment and we're looking over the harbor in Seattle, Washington, and mm-hmm. one of us goes to the window and says, "Wow, there's so many beautiful sailboats out there." How does the other person respond to that? What might you say? Let's role play. Or not say anything because it's just a statement.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, like wondering, do you expect a response, or are you just noticing and you're sharing you're noticing? Or it's like, are you inviting me to come to the window and look with you?
Right.
Yeah.
So that comment that I made could be a bid for connection, which is another mm-hmm. one of the Gottman teachings mm-hmm. and one of the key distinctions. And so and they actually teach to consider everything a bid for connection. Mm-hmm. Because some people ask me, well, how do I know if they're bidding for connection? Like, consider everything a bid for connection.
Yeah.
Right. And so, when I would say so many beautiful sailboats out there, like you said, like, am I wanting you to come over and like, what am I looking for from you? Mm-hmm. How you respond to me will indicate the health of our relationship. And it will either put deposits in our love bank between us, or it will withdraw from our love bank.
Right.
And if you say nothing and continue on your cell phone, you know, just like,
yeah, exactly.
If you're like that and there's no response, that actually, that's, what we call turning away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to say, oh, really? And jump up and walk over to the window with me to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, you know, what do you, and then like, hey, babe, what do you say when we break out of this joint? You want to go see if we can hitch a ride on a sailboat?
Yeah.
Definitely turning toward, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
And if you say, and I love giving this example to my clients, which John Gottman doesn't give, but if you were to say something like, why are you paying so much attention to the neighbors? You're nosy, just like your mother.
Oh, geez.
No, you're so nosy. You're so into up in everyone's business or something like that. That's going against.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. So
imagine that everything all in the dynamics of relating and this thing that's going back and forth between two humans every minute of every day, that they're together. And even when they're not,
mm-hmm.
What are they bidding for? You know, they're bidding to be connected to each other.
Right.
And then how do we respond to that bid? And what's the impact on the love bank, the tank, the mm-hmm. bank account of love with our reaction? And so there's turning toward, turning away, and turning against.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the fascinating thing, because I saw your body react when I did the turn against, when I, you know, compared name called or, you know, compared mm-hmm. nosy mother or something like that. And I saw you kind of contract in your body and, ooh, you know, ow, ouch, right? Owie.
Mm-hmm.
And we would think that that would just be absolutely horrible, which it is. And we would think that that would take a lot from the love bank. That would pull mm-hmm. a lot out, right?
Yeah.
And what they found was the just not turning toward, in other words, turning away,
mm-hmm.
actually cost almost the same amount as turning against.
Mm.
There's a difference, costs a bit more for sure, turning against, because it's pretty awful.
Yeah.
But constantly not being responded to when your partner is bidding for your attention and connection.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Takes out of the love bank. It costs mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when the love bank falls below a certain level, then everything in the relationship changes.
Mm-hmm.
So the sentiment override flips. And when we have a negative sentiment override, we automatically get into a lot of trouble with each other in for things that would have in under circumstances of a positive sentiment override wouldn't even register on the scale.
Yeah.
So that's why it's super important to keep a certain amount in that love bank.
No, I totally agree with that. What would you say, like, in talking to a therapist that I do some work for too, we have to like keep in mind the love tank, try to keep it at the forefront of our mind, right, in our relationships, but also the fact of just being human, maybe still having work on our mind, maybe still just, I don't know, maybe not feeling so good physically or that kind of thing, keeping that stuff in mind as well. We are all human and we are gonna sometimes, well, fail. You know, we want to make our partner happy, but sometimes it's like, ugh, I don't wanna, or whatever, for whatever reason, because you're just somewhere else.
Yeah. And so I think you didn't explicitly state a question. So there was an implied communication there.
Yes, that is very true. It was.
I think you're asking like how to manage that situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As we were talking about it, the therapist I work for. Yeah, we were talking about that one day and it's like managing that. Like,
yeah.
Humanness. Yeah,
Sometimes this is high level relating, right? And mm-hmm. so this is something we have to learn because we're not born knowing this, mm-hmm. and we're usually not taught it. Mm-hmm. And this is what a partner of mine from Northern California taught me in the early stages of our relating. And you know, he's a CEO, and I like to talk a lot, and I like to get attention and love through time, quality mm-hmm. time, and mm-hmm. through touch. And so yeah. when we were apart, the only way I could feel loved by him was through talk. And yeah. so I often want his time and to talk to him. So I would be bidding for connection, you know, mm-hmm. but like you're saying, life, and he had a, you know, house, kids, dog, busy business, he's a CEO. Mm-hmm. And so he had the most beautiful phrase that, that I learned. And I memorized, and now I say to people, and I will say to them, I care about you, and having this connection with you matters to me. Mm-hmm. And I know this right now because I have a lot going on that I can't give you the quality of connection mm-hmm. that I'd like to.
It's awesome. Yeah.
So can we circle back to this? Maybe around, I don't know, 6 o'clock tonight or in yeah. an hour or on my lunch break or, you know, whenever mm-hmm. it was. And I just found that to be so validating and reassuring and beautiful. And you can feel that even now I'm still touched by those words that
absolutely,
you know, that I knew that I was loved and held and cared about. And mm-hmm. also there wasn't time for me to get time right now, but I would get my time.
That's beautiful. That's everything right there. Somebody taking the time to say that and genuinely saying that, hey, you do matter. I just can't give you the best of me right now. I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That's perfect. Mm. Yeah, I love that. Love that. That's a really good note for, we're going to lead into a break in a moment, everyone. But, you know, that is in our whole busy world of these, they're wonderful, but sometimes they're not. You know, we get so addicted to our phones and our technology and all that. And sometimes just having a real conversation with somebody doesn't happen like it used to. And especially in our loving relationships, we need to make that time and just to say those words like Linda just said, that, you know, that you do matter to me. Just, I need just a little time and then you'll have my full attention. Yeah.
And yeah. I say it to friends too now, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
Absolutely, because I have friends who reach out for support and they'll ask, mm-hmm. you know, if I have capacity or if I have time. Now yeah. they'll start with that, you know?
Yeah.
Because they'll know it's not about them if I don't have capacity or time right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. So we're going to take a short break, everyone, and we'll see you in just a little bit.
Do you want to overcome your chronic health condition? Have you tried for years? Christy Rich is a holistic healer with over 17 years experience. She will discover the root cause of your condition and treat you naturally for amazing results. She works with clients one-to-one, but for a limited time, you can grab your free PDF with her top natural health products. Visit thedancingcurtain.com/get healthy. That's thedancingcurtain.com/get healthy. Feel better today.
Are you living the life others want you to live? Are you counting on others to make you happy? If so, you have it backwards. Can you imagine waking up every day excited about what's to come? After 11 years of growth, Dominika has encoded happiness in her DNA. As a brain coach and a neuroencoding specialist, she uses a holistic approach to help you do the same. For more information and to schedule a session, follow Your Brain Coach D on Facebook and Instagram.
Are you on a healing journey, working through trauma or limited beliefs caused by social conditioning? Are you searching for who you are? There are answers waiting for you. In Gressen Pfeiffer's book, Sharing My Light and Healing Journey, she shares her story of light and healing energy, providing wisdom and useful tools for you, the reader, on your own path. You can get your copy of the book, Sharing My Light and Healing Journey by Gressen Pfeiffer, available on Amazon.com.
You've been looking, searching for your purpose. You desire change, but don't know what to do. There is an amazing teacher sitting right there, waiting for you to realize you can do this. You sense it is time. Take that first step. Your dog is ready to show you more. You are ready to listen and start to remember. Remember who you are. Visit www.dogsandmen.com to continue your journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to the show where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today, Linda Switzer. We've been talking about love and all kinds of love. And I think now, Linda, it's time to get into the sexy love, the part that makes me embarrassed. So,
well, you made me cry. So now it's time to make you blush, I think.
All right. That's all right. I'm prepared for it. You know, I am prepared for it. So what would you, I guess my thought, because I work for two therapists, actually, and we get into a lot of conversations, and being a coach myself and clients and all that, that I know that relationships sometimes get a little stagnant, even if they are going well. You know, we get busy in our lives, and sometimes it's like you kind of get on the verge of just being roommates. What do you suggest that a couple starts to do, even if they're, you know, no matter how far they are into this roommate stage, what would you suggest?
Well, a few things. I'm going to say get a coach, mm-hmm, and novelty. So I'll start with that. Okay. And the reason I said get a coach first is, John, I'm going to go back to my mentors and, you know, yeah, who gave me my certification in couples therapy, which is John and Julie Gottman from the Gottman Institute. Mm-hmm. And their research shows that couples seek assistance about 5 years past when they first started having difficulties, mm-hmm, or when they really should have. And so we know that people wait too long. And sometimes when couples come to me, I have a very high success ratio, by the way, in working with people. But my experience is sometimes people come and it's too late. It's already too late. Mm-hmm. Like they've already, the negative sentiment override has been operating for so long. And they are so disconnected that, like you say, they really are just roommates, mm-hmm, and they actually don't even have any willingness, or they have nothing left in them to make it be different. Mm-hmm. And so then that doesn't work. That's going to make it a really rough road to hoe. Mm-hmm. So get a coach, get some help. Mm-hmm. I, having seen 5 therapists with my husband, I call him because I really like the word ex.
That is cute.
my husband, and I saw five therapists, and it was mostly talk therapy was the approach, and that's not my favorite. And so what inspired me to do what I do now is that I really thought there has to be a better way. I just believe there has to be a better way. And so for the last decade, I've thrown myself into certifications and trainings and research and experimentation and learning and teaching and learning some more and teaching some more and sharing what I've learned to create this very unique alchemy of methods and philosophies that I put together that isn't like any other approach. But if there's one thing I will say, it is very experiential. And so the not that leads me into my second suggestion, which was novelty. Try something different. You know, you're bored because you're doing the same thing over and over like robots. And you already know the scripts because you've said these things over and over and over. And with some of my clients, I explain it like a washing machine. Like, does it feel like this thing happens and then one of you says this and the other one says this and the other one reacts this way and then you react that way. And then next thing you know, you're spinning around in this spin cycle that you can't figure out how to stop. And you know, it's going downhill and you can see it going downhill by now. And you know, this is going to end poorly and you don't know what to do about it. And they're all like, yeah. And then I'm like, and then that cycle repeats again. Like you find some way to sort of make up, but you're not really healed from that injury, that exchange. And then next thing you know, you're in another thing and all of a sudden it starts spinning again. And it's like, you can't figure out how to slow it down or stop it. And so we repeat these patterns, the scripts or the dance, you know, where one person steps this way and the other one does that way. And then we just keep doing it. Right. So that creates difficulty, and it may not be active conflict. Like, you know, a lot of the couples I work with who've been together 5, 10, 15, some 20, some 30 years, they're in the Cold War. There's no actual fighting. Nobody's fighting in the way that we would call fighting, what it looks like. Right? They're just not talking about it, but under their volcanoes ready to erupt.
Yeah.
So, so there's a whole lot there, and I know you want to jump on tons of it, but novelty, you know, again, get some help and do some different things. Novelty is super important for keeping a relationship alive and keeping exciting, keeping it interesting, and keeping your connection juicy. Which is that I said that I had to have in my description about
exactly. Yeah, keeping it fun and keep being friends. I mean, it sounds kind of cliche or whatever to say keep dating. There's more to it than that. But to find some more adventurous things, you know, whatever it is that you like, and try some things maybe that are scary.
Yeah. And scary doesn't have to mean jumping out of an airplane. And adventurous doesn't have to mean climbing Everest or to even taking a hike or even floating down the river. It can literally mean just doing something different than you normally do. Like, oh, we always have steak and red wine, you know, on Friday night. Well, let's actually have a games night with some other couples, invite people over. Or let's take a walk and have a picnic up on the hill near the house, or whatever the case may be. Like it's really about novelty, different. The brain loves novelty. The brain loves new. The brain is a giant, like we're trained in our in our training, right? The brain is a giant machine that does generalization and it groups everything and it sees one thing and it then thinks most things that look like that are the same as that, so that it doesn't have to work as hard. But actually, the brain loves new. It's like new is like crack for the brain. Like it really stimulates the brain. And when our brain gets stimulated, you know, and I help people get their body stimulated too. And so that they can get back to connecting with each other in a multidimensional way.
Yeah. Yeah. And vulnerability fits in there somewhere too, right?
Right. Right. Because, you know, I mean, just before the last break, when I was moved to tears and I, you know, this whole conversation has been unscripted. We, you know, we didn't even have time to have a conversation before
and
conversation today. So, you know, I didn't know that was going to happen. But you can see that by giving someone a response like that, you know, even just communicating in that kind of really authentic way is very, it's vulnerable and it's touching. And I believe that learning to talk like that helps us feel more connected to each other. And it isn't because I'm trying to strip people of their layers of protection and all that kind of thing. I'm just helping them actually be more authentic. And I'm just helping them say what's really in their heart. Because I do believe that, you know, when someone is bidding for your connection and you are busy with 10,000 other things, all the pressures that we have, and there's a lot going on and we live very busy lives these days, you know, I do believe that when someone is bidding for that connection with you and you don't have time, it's not that you don't want to pay attention to them.
Right.
It's just that, it's just that you have all these other, you're being pulled in so many directions and you have all these other things. And so what if we could learn to speak so authentically? And what if we stop thinking, because there's a certain negative connotation in regard to vulnerability. And I know Brené Brown has done a lot to try and make us believe that vulnerability is bravery and is strength. And also lots of people still feel very weak when they're vulnerable and they feel very uncomfortable in that realm. And so for me, I wasn't uncomfortable, you know, being moved. That was just my authentic response in that moment. And so what if we could learn to really speak our true hearts to each other and really say what's really going on for us? Like, you know, hon, that thing you're doing right now is driving me absolutely insane. It literally makes me when you do that thing. And I love you so much. And I want to have like deep connection with you. And later I want to make juicy love with you. So like, can we figure out a way for you to like meet whatever need you need to meet with that thing you're doing without doing that thing that's making me crazy, you know, so that we can stay connected, because our connection matters to me. That's what
and it's all how you put it, because if it's like, you know, damn it, can you just stop? You know, that comes across a little different than babe, please.
Right. 100%.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I know I'll just admit about myself sometimes, though, if my husband and I were kind of in a way or something, you know, I fear rejection sometimes, you know, just putting my vulnerable self out there. And if he's still mad at me or something, he might still walls be up. And it does scare me sometimes. And I know I'm not the only one. I'm sure you deal with that with your clients. And I know I do with mine.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
When I'm working with couples, what I try to do, and this comes from several teachings from both the Gottman process of couples therapy and emotional focused therapy for couples, which is by Sue Johnson, and EFT, emotional focused therapy for couples, and Gottman teach a way of us as the coach or the facilitator or the counselor to whisper the words that the person could say. Instead, so they can, and if it feels right for them, they'll repeat what we've said. And in this way, I've trained my couples I work with how to talk to each other in these kind of ways. And so, you know, I would whisper to you to say, you know, I feel really scared and nervous to tell you this because I'm afraid of rejection. And I would whisper to him to say, okay, well, I'm feeling frustrated with you right now, but it doesn't mean I don't love you. I'm still here for you.
Right.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
Right. And so like just supporting them to be able to talk to each other in that kind of way so that they can, they can learn it. Right. When you learn to ride a bicycle, somebody put you on a bicycle and they held on to it. They didn't just let you fall off it. Right.
Yeah. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. I like that. And you learn as you go, you know, all of us learn as we go and in our relationships, kind of how to work things, you know. None of us mean to hurt each other. Sometimes we just do. And it's just getting through that and remembering that, you know, we love each other and, you know, you go from there. So we're going to take another break and we'll be right back, everyone, with some more. Well, we got to get into the real deep stuff this time. Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Can you blush?
Yes. Great. Okay. Cool. We'll be right back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Do you want to overcome your chronic health condition? Have you tried for years? Christy Rich is a holistic healer with over 17 years experience. She will discover the root cause of your condition and treat you naturally for amazing results. She works with clients one-to-one, but for a limited time, you can grab your free PDF with her top natural health products. Visit thedancingcurtain.com/get healthy. That's thedancingcurtain.com/get healthy. Feel better today.
You've been looking, searching for your purpose. You desire change, but don't know what to do. There is an amazing teacher sitting right there, waiting for you to realize you can do this. You sense it is time. Take that first step. Your dog is ready to show you more. You are ready to listen and start to remember. Remember who you are. Visit www.dogsandmen.com to continue your journey.
Are you living the life others want you to live? Are you counting on others to make you happy? If so, you have it backwards. Can you imagine waking up every day excited about what's to come? After 11 years of growth, Dominika has encoded happiness in her DNA. As a brain coach and a neuroencoding specialist, she uses a holistic approach to help you do the same. For more information and to schedule a session, follow Your Brain Coach D on Facebook and Instagram.
Everyone to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. And we were having a little technical difficulties. So we're here. So Linda, here we go. Let's talk about juicy, sexy love. Let's go.
So not to put me on the spot or anything.
Oh, yeah. You're the expert.
So I just think that people are missing out on how much fun sex and pleasure and intimacy can be. And so I also have I also probably have a much broader definition of sex than most people have. And I also try to be more specific with my language than what most people are. And so sometimes people say sex when they really mean intercourse. Mm-hmm. And I would say sex is a bigger thing than just intercourse.
Oh, for sure.
And then sometimes people use the word intimacy and make it be the same as sex. And I would say intimacy, we just shared a lot of intimacy and we did not have sex or intercourse.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yeah. Intimacy is such a broad term.
Right. Right. And so, the thing that I notice is that something happens really magically when I teach people how to communicate like this, and especially when I teach them how to repair upsets, because conflict, like you were saying, you know, right before the break, that, you know, we're going to do what we're going to do and be how we're going to be. And so there's an inevitability that the closer we dance to each other, the more likely we will step on each other's toes.
Yeah.
And when we do that, how do we repair that? And so both emotion focused therapy for couples, which if people want to look it up and read a book that's very accessible for couples to read, I would highly recommend Sue Johnson's book called Hold Me Tight. I really actually think every couple should read that. And I do ask my clients to read it. And so, you know, both the Gottmans and EFT teach how to repair the upsets, because it's inevitable that we're going to hurt each other. Like you said, we are going to hurt each other. We are human, and we will do things that will, you know, because we were focused on something else or quite unintentionally hurt another. And so the question becomes, how do we fix it when we do that? How do we make amends? And so, So I definitely think that this is one of the most powerful things that I teach people. And when I start teaching people how to talk like I've been modeling to you today, and when I teach people how to repair the upsets, they just naturally start being more connected physically.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's so many just little things to be intimate. It could just be, you know, like my husband was actually, I had a meeting, so he was cleaning up breakfast or dinner dishes, and I just went behind him and just gave him a big hug, you know, from behind while he's washing dishes. And he was just saying last night, that really meant a lot to him. Just doing that, just a little thing before going on to my meeting. And that's just a little thing to show that, hey, you know, he knows I love him, and, you know, to give that person a warm touch. And then you can always add another little special thing in for later of what's to come, right?
Well, and what I love about it is that you were playing into his love language.
Yeah.
Right? You were showing him love and care in his language that he wants to be spoken to in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so if you had used your love language, which you said you love cards, so I'm guessing mm-hmm. that means words of affirmation. You know, if you had said, oh, sweetie, thank you so much for doing the dishes. I'm so glad you're doing that because I have to run to my meeting right now. It means a lot to me. It probably wouldn't have meant as much to him, and he wouldn't have felt as loved by you as the coming up behind him and holding him that way. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of things you can do that just, the roommate thing has been a lot, in a lot of conversations in my coaching calls lately. A lot of women I know, especially a little older, it's like, that's kind of the way their relationships have gotten, and they're trying to figure out how to bring it back. And one of my clients was just saying that, she goes, you know, I have a habit. She goes, I work really long hours and I come home and I have a little caffeine. I really shouldn't, because my husband goes to bed super early. And in order to have some couple time, I really need to get my butt to bed early like he does. And I'm like, yeah, that would be a really good thing. Be healthy for both of you. You know, so that is kind of a common theme that I've been hearing lately. So what do you think about, what would you say to your client in that circumstance or whatever?
Well, so many things. I have about 10 things. So how much time we have left? Yeah. First of all, I would say be aware of each other's love languages, like what you're mm-hmm. starting to do with your husband. So figure out how they want to be loved and speak to them in their language to show them that you care. Secondly, start doing things with each other. Like where are you doing things together? Like, is there just two people swimming in separate lanes who, you know, only see each other when you're on this stroke and then you're passing in the night, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, do your lives connect? Like, what do you have as like some kind of common interest? Could you take up a hobby together? Could you take dance lessons? Could you go, join a bridge club or something and play as partners? Could you take up a sport that you like hiking mm-hmm. or something that you could do together? Something that will bring you together where you spend quality time together. And that's new and different. That's crack for the brain. That's novelty, that excite, because that will naturally excite you. Mm-hmm. Definitely, you know, again, don't suffer in silence, get a coach. Like it, you don't have to still be roommates. This is a habit that we fall into. It's a pattern. And it can especially happen when kids come along and we get really divided in our roles. And I do this and dad does this and so on. And also it can really happen when we don't make time for intimacy. And mm-hmm. so I'm going to say, schedule it. Like I have a lot of my couples will say, well, there's no time. When am I going to find time for having, you know, sharing intimacy, having sex with my husband? Well, I said, well, you're going to make time. Like, how did you make it to the dentist yesterday to get your teeth cleaned? You made an appointment and you went and got done, right? So you schedule it. You make time for things that are important to you and you schedule them and you put a block in your calendar. And then you set up the scenario to be the right environment to encourage and welcome in that kind of energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really important. And I used to think that, scheduling time, even to hang out with friends or, you know, or just have a lunch date or anything just seems so, I don't know, or not so much a lunch date, but a phone call or whatever, just seems so like, really, you got to put on the calendar, but you do. You do. We're all so busy now, but I look at it now as an act of love myself by scheduling that time because you are important enough to me that I'm going to schedule this.
Yeah.
You know, it's all how we look at things, right?
Absolutely. Well, time, if quality time is your love language, then it is an act of love to schedule that time. And so the thing about love languages is even if you don't know the person's language, try to hit them with all of it. Like, you know, when you give somebody all of those languages, something's got to stick, right? And something will work. Yeah. And there's a quick and easy test you can do online for the 5 love languages as well. But creating that environment to setting aside that time, making a date for a juicy love time and creating the environment, you know, because some people need a certain environment in order to feel excited and aroused and connected and interested. Mm-hmm. And that's their gateway. And so they might need candles. They might need soft music. They might need all the clutter and all the socks picked up and the underwear picked up off the floor. And they need, you know, they need it to be quiet and they need the kids to be, you know, like grandma's or whatever, you know, and then, you know, get the strawberries, get the whipping cream, you know, get a tray of things, like take 5 minutes each and run around the house picking up all kinds of devices that you could use on the other person's body for sensation that would see, you know, blindfold them and see how that feels. Like, what does a fork feel like versus what does a feather feel like? And you know, all the things, like a straw, blowing through a straw on someone's body can feel incredibly erotic. And who knew? It's so simple, you know? It doesn't have to be 50 Shades Gray.
Right. Oh, that does seem kind of, that is a cool movie. Talk about blush now. He was finally got it, you know. Gotta admit that. He's pretty cute. So anyway, we come to the end of the show, which always Lisa was like, oh gosh, an hour already. Thank you so much, Linda. I so appreciate you being here today and sharing your wisdom. And one more time before we go, where can people find you?
Facebook, Coach Linda Switzer, LYNDA and Switzer, SWITZER. Instagram, Linda Switzer, and coachlinda.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everyone. And please check back or come back with us next week at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and we'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Transformation with Martinet. Did listening today spark a sense of hope and possibility? Hold on to this feeling and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific for more inspiring conversations with Martinet and her guests. They will show you there is hope and you are right where you need to be. Martinet is dedicated to supporting you right where you are while launching you towards promise, passion, and possibility that leads to the fulfilled life your heart aches for. If you're tired of being stuck, schedule a complimentary consultation with Martinet and get on the exciting path towards the life you want to be living. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.